The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler right back with you here for the beginning of the last hour of the Thursday, the 6th of October show. On the George Show, listen, we're going right to the VIP line. There's an organization out there near and dear to my heart. It's called the Common Sense Institute. I have been a crime fellow for them, along with Mitch Morrissey, who you heard yesterday on the radio here. He's the former Denver district attorney. They now have a new ED, and the D is not dysfunction. It is executive director. Joining us right now is that brand new person, Kelly Caulfield. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, George, for having me on.
Kelly, why did you agree to take on this horrible assignment?
It's a good question. I have always really respected and appreciated Common Sense Institute's work in the Colorado ecosystem, and have almost worked previously for nearly 6 years at Colorado Succeeds, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan coalition of business leaders dedicated to improving public education in Colorado. And we had partnered.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off. My fault. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that we had partnered with Common Sense Institute 4 years ago to produce an economic study on what would be the benefit if Colorado schools were number one, what would be the improvements to the economy if we had the post-secondary attainment rate, the high school graduation rate demanded by the workforce and what that would produce. So enjoyed working with Common Sense then, and they've always been on my radar screen since.
Kelly, to understand a little bit more about you, we need to know where you came from. Where did you grow up, high school, college, all that stuff?
Thanks, George. Yes, I'm not a native. I've married one, but I'm from Virginia. I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Spider
went
country.
To high school. Yeah. Went to high school just south of Richmond, Virginia in Chesterfield, and went to college at the College of William & Mary in Colonial Williamsburg, second oldest public institution of higher education.
And also,
was in Virginia and the Washington, D.C. area for a long time.
It's an incredible college. I mean, for folks that don't know, that East Coast stuff is pretty good, pretty old, but William & Mary is really one of the premier institutions. Congrats on making it in there. What did you end up with a degree in?
You know, I have a Bachelor of Arts degree focused in government and psychology.
Oh, interesting. And so you made it from the D.C. area out here to Colorado. You worked for 6 years and I can't remember the name of it, but it had the word Colorado in it, like Colorado Comes Together or Colorado something.
Colorado Succeeds. Hard to disagree with.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And now you're at CSI. Now, I know CSI because of Kristen and the team that helped put these great crime reports together with us when we do this. But you guys do so much more.
That's right. Common Sense Institute, as you know, and a lot of your viewers here, a nonpartisan research organization dedicated to the protection and the promotion of Colorado's economy. And you're right, really at the forefront of so many different issues, which was another reason I was so drawn to help lead the organization, all kinds of topics, including homelessness, housing, education, which is near and dear to my heart, healthcare, really having that comprehensive conversation about how can we really get smarter on the issues that are impacting everyday Coloradans.
You guys have worked on things like the education piece that you talked about. I know we've worked on crime. There has been some other areas that you've touched upon. Before we get into what it is you see on the horizon that you'd like to tackle with CSI, who's the worst employee there? No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to ask you to answer that yet. You can't know. You got to be there at least another 2 more weeks to know, and then we'll have you back on. What are some of the other areas that CSI is going to try to follow up on here in the near term to try to let Coloradans know this is where we're at and this is how it impacts our economy?
Well, thanks, George. As you've indicated, a very strong crime report just came out this week, but there's a lot more work to tackle. There's going to be a jobs report coming soon, water, that is a key issue as well, and homelessness. These are, you know, top tier issues that keep coming up. They're important to Coloradans and they're important to Colorado employers. We just heard recently Denver Metro EDC hosted their annual event where they bring site selectors. You know, big corporations come to Denver, they come to Colorado, and we had an interesting panel discussion on what factors are you all examining when you think about where to relocate corporate headquarters, expansion efforts, and some of those issues, the same issues that Common Sense Institute will be tackling, came up by these, you know, key corporations. They said housing is a challenge, water is a challenge, homelessness and safety is a challenge. So if we want to keep Colorado economically vibrant and ensure that we continue to thrive, I think Common Sense Institute's well positioned to educate the public and try to bring top employers to the state.
One of the things that I think there are some out there who before CSI felt like they'd sort of cornered the market on the narrative of how things are the way they are and the best fix for them. And then along comes CSI a couple few years ago and starts saying, hey, there's real data out there. Let's make decisions based on data, not just based on anecdotes. And there are those folks out there who, again, especially after this crime report, I feel this, are they want to say, well, CSI, Politico's making the, it's like, well, hang on. It's not Politico's. It's like the boring human chalk economist guys. And no offense, Chris and Steve out, who are out there, but you know what I'm talking about. CSI is filled with like economist types.
Yep. I think you're right, George. We have to cut through the political spin. We have to provide voters with facts, data-driven analysis. People are hungry for objective information. I believe last year, Common Sense Institute's crime report showed that the cost of crime to the state is $31 billion. Key statistics like that stay on people's mind. They remember it when they vote. They remember it when they are talking to their family around the dinner table. And I think, again, CSI is in such a strong position to continue to inject key facts into public discourse. And I'm so excited to be a part of that.
Now, I know that you're focused on the Colorado part of this thing here because you're the ED for it. But this model has become so successful as a driver of the discussion for policies that matter most in the metro area. It's growing into other states. Can you tell us at all about where it's going?
Maybe a little bit. I think that's another reason I'm just so excited about the vision that, you know, Kristen and the board have here. There's a real hunger for that, you know, purple radical middle perspective. And we know Colorado's on the map for having, you know, citizens who really want to hear both sides and truly dive deep into the issues. And I think there's a number of states that are similarly situated. Earlier this year, the Arizona chapter, the Arizona office opened, and that's been hugely exciting to see, you know, a sister Western state with similar purple discourse between the parties. That's been a great, expansion effort. I think there's still, you know, a lot of discussions about, you know, what other states might be a good place for expansion. So would love to come back and be able to dive into that more with you.
Look, I'm excited to have you back when you guys start rolling out some more of these reports with these subject matter experts backed by the real data that's there. The other thing I would say, and Mitch and I talked about this yesterday with the crime report, is for the handful of naysayers out there from the ideological spectrum that don't like the information that's provided, it's just come up with better information. Like, I don't think CSI is out there inventing data. What you guys are great at is going out and finding the existing data and then bringing it together to analyze it. I think that's the real strength.
I agree. There's a lot of reliance on conventional wisdom. And, you know, if I went to school, I'm an expert in education. If I'm a doctor, I'm an expert in healthcare. And I think, again, the country, the state is very interested in key facts, data to inform important decisions for their families in the future.
Kelly Caulfield, the new executive director of CSI. When we have you back, I'll ask you specifically about your compensation package. But until that time, kid, I'm never going to do that. I just want to thank you for taking time to introduce yourself to the listeners out here at 710.
Thank you so much, George. I really appreciate the opportunity and can't wait to work closely together. Thanks for everything you're doing for the state.
Same, Same. Talk to you soon, Kelly. Thanks. Hey, that was Kelly Caulfield with CSI. She's the new executive director. I don't know if I'm ever going to have to salute her or call her boss, but, you know, I'm glad you guys got to hear from her because they are a powerhouse. And it's not just because I'm a part of it. I'm telling you, they drive the conversation on so many things because they're coming to the table with something Colorado has lacked for so long, and that is legitimate, verifiable data as opposed to just making policy and laws on anecdotes. Listen, we're going to be joined in just a little bit by the head of the Colorado Republican Party, KBB, but I don't want to do that until I tell you about another superstar. It's like we're going superstar, superstar, superstar this morning. Gay Ribble with Keller Williams Realty DTC. If this is the first time you've listened to the show, then what you've missed out on is me for months telling you about a person who's not just a subject matter expert in a market that we kind of took for granted for a while. For a long time, we thought, oh, it's just a seller's market. Prices keep going up and up and up and up. And the challenge is, how do you find the dream home? That's not true anymore. I mean, this market is fluid. It is dynamic. And you need someone who's been around for the decades that Gay has doing this work in this community, the community she grew up in and started a family in, to get the best dollar for your house, but also figure out a way to get you into the still very competitive buyer side of things and find that dream house that you want. And Gay Ribble with Keller Williams Realty DTC knows how to do it. That team is fantastic. They have a 24-hour cash offer program. They guarantee in writing to sell your home at 100% of the asking price, or she pays the difference. Who does that? But again, the thing I love best about Gay is that she is just a good human being, a good person. She is 100% passionate and dedicated in advancing the cause of adoption because it's touched her life. It's touched my family's life. Joe O'Day is adopted. I think Carl Rove is adopted. Aaron Judge, the American League home run lead, he is adopted. I mean, everywhere you look, adoption is making a difference for the positive for people's families, and Gay helps put people there. So if you want the best in the business, but also someone you can feel good about working with, it's Gay Ribble. Call her at 833-301-SOLD. 833-301-SOLD. You can check her out at gayhasthebuyers.com. That's Gay, G-A-Y-E, hasthebuyers.com. We have another great person on the line with us right now. She goes by KBB, but her real name is Kevin. No, I'm kidding. It's Christy Burton Brown from the State Party. Christy, how are you?
I'm good, George. How are you?
For a moment, you're like, my God, there's a woman named Kevin on the line? Like, no, it's just, I'm kidding.
I figured.
Thanks for coming on. And I didn't want to have you come on for too long because I know how busy you are trying to help candidates get over the goal line. But there was this story that just sort of got to my attention last night, and I talked about it earlier in the show. And that was, and I'll play this clip for you. I think you were there. Did you go to that Republican Rumble that 710 hosted back up at the, at the Grizzly Rose a few months ago?
You know, I missed it, but I heard it was very good.
It was awesome. And this
exchange, you moderated, right?
I did some of it. Yeah, I got to do three out of the four. So that's, of course, why it was so awesome. But I got to ask each of the candidates on the primary ballot, Joe O'Day and Ron Hanks, the same question. And this is the question I asked to Ron.
The easy one we've asked all the candidates, and that is, will you support the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, whoever it is? Sir?
Yes.
Yes, that's Ron Hanks' voice right there. You recognize it. I recognize it. The listeners at 710 recognize it, too. And then yesterday, and I was going to ask when you became aware of this, that same Ron Hanks, unless he's got a twin, put out a press release that didn't just say he wasn't supporting our Republican nominee and supporting some libertarian guy I've never heard of, but tries to burn our guy to the ground, our Joe O'Day to the ground. Is this an issue, Christy, that we should – I know we don't want to distract from the campaign, but what do you make of this? Why is this happening? Were you given a heads up, and what do we do about it?
Oh, sure. You know, George, I think this happens often where you have people who lost a primary who decide to pop back up and try and make news again. Certainly, I respect any Republican with principles. I'm extremely conservative Republican. You are – many of us are. We hold the principles of our party very dear. I think a principle we also hold dear is keeping your word. And if you say that you're going to support the eventual nominee, if it's not yourself, I believe the honorable thing to do is to do that. And that's not what Ron Hanks has chosen to do. I'd also say, George, I think it's very clear that conservative Republicans across the state are backing Joe O'Day, because we know that either Joe O'Day or Michael Bennett is going to be our senator come November. And there are so many things that Michael Bennett would do to destroy the conservative cause, the principles we believe in our constitutional republic, and Joe O'Day would be on our side. And that's why we need him in the Senate.
I agree with you. I'm trying to understand the rationale behind this. And maybe you've hit upon it, Christy, which is I need to stay relevant. I need to stay in the news. So I'm going to issue this, because it seems to me there were three options here other than to live up to his word, which was to support Joe O'Day.
Mm-hmm.
One was, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm going to sit silent. Nobody's going to hear from me again. And that would have been okay. The other is to just come out and say, hey, listen, I just can't support Joe O'Day. I know what I said, but I'm going to support this other dude. Then this version is the worst version, which is not only am I supporting this other guy nobody's ever heard of for a party that can't win anything, but I'm going to burn to the ground the guy that I sat next to and said, I'll support you if you win the nomination. That's the part I don't get. And then to suggest somehow that this is a matter of principle, your point is well made, Christy, which is, you only get really the two real options for who's going to be a U.S. senator. It's either going to be Bennett or it's going to be O'Day. Whether you're a far-right, super-conservative MAGA Republican or something that you deem to be more rhino-esque, who do you fare better with? Who is Colorado and America better with as a senator, Bennett or O'Day? It's not even a close call.
No, not at all, George. And I think we do have to live in reality, not the world that we wish existed. And you know, neither myself nor you nor any one particular voter got to choose our nominee in any of these races. Voters collectively took a vote in the primary, and those are the Republicans on our ballot. And so the choice, you know, 33 days before the election, like we are right now, the choice really comes down to the Republican or the Democrat, who's going to represent you better, who's going to take calls from their constituents, who is going to uphold the majority of our values, even if they're not 100% perfect. And I'd never stand here as the, you know, chairman of the party and say every single one of our candidates do I agree with 100%. I don't. But 100% of the time, they are better than the Democrats that we need to get out of office.
In the letter, and this is one of the paragraphs towards the middle, he describes the squishy state party. I presume that is a shot at you. I will just say, having known you and Priscilla and everybody else, I don't know where the squish is out of that group. I mean, they're all conservative Republicans. I don't know how we got here where it's, if you're not with me, you're a squish.
You know, and I think that's the unfortunate thing sometimes about politics today, George, that turns a lot of people off. It's people who say, if you don't agree with me and support me and I'm not your choice, you know, 1,000% of the time, then let's just go blast each other. And that's not how we accomplish things. In government. That's not how we accomplish things in politics. It's not how we accomplish things in our families or our churches either, or our communities. So I don't think it's a good theory to live life by. And, you know, I think people should remember that the one thing the state party was responsible for running in regards to selecting candidates, the assembly, who won the assembly? It was Ron Hanks. Who won the assembly? You know, and that's one way people get on the ballot. And then voters get a larger choice. We want all Republicans to cast a ballot in the primary, and so many of them did. And they made a different choice. And that's what's on our ballot. Every single Republican's better than the Democrat. I'll be voting for Republicans this year.
Me too. Ron also goes on in his letter to say that the effort to avoid the state assembly is a matter of political cowardice. Calls O'Day pay-to-play fake Republican who bought his way onto the ballot, skipping the traditional caucus and assembly process, avoiding Republican voters by paying for petition signatures. I mean, this feels to me, Christy, and I don't need you to comment on it, it just feels to me like sour grapes. Like, he's so bitter he was rejected, he's going to find someone to blame. And my guess is he's been holding on to this hatred since June and knew he was going to do something crazy like this and chose less than 2 weeks before the ballots go out to do it, as a way of predicting the outcome he's going to encourage to happen, which is Joe O'Day's demise. I just think it's not going to work.
And I don't either. I honestly, George, has been asked, does this matter? And no, I don't think it does. I think any Republican is more than welcome to come out and say their position. That's what he's chosen to do. I think he's broken his own principles and his own word to do so. But he can do as he wishes. I don't think the grand scheme, this matters at all. Your average voter, your swing voter sitting at home who doesn't already have their mind made up is not going to be swayed by someone who lost the Republican primary and their opinion of who people should vote for.
As a final word, I also think it would be impossible to envision a future Ron Hanks candidacy as a Republican. I mean, short of him going full Neuschwanger, and I think he's thus far only gone Hank Schwanger, I just don't think he could successfully do it, because how do you look at Republicans and say, support me because I support some of you. I don't see that working out for him in the future.
No. Agreed, George. And what we really need, as you know, we need all Republicans, all conservatives, like, to, you know, put our heads down these last few days. These statewide races are close. Polling's all over the place, as it often is. But we are having great responses at the doors, talking to so many voters. We are having huge teams of people get out in canvas neighborhoods. And I think it's going to come down to 7 p.m. on Election Day. Some of these races are going to be down to the wire, and we need to keep busy and work on them. That's what I'm doing.
I agree. I just don't want to have those ballots come in on that Tuesday in November and think, man, if we had just had a couple more votes. Or, man, if we had just had a few more door knockers or people out there writing just a couple smaller checks. I just don't ever want to be in that position. I want to win this thing and then feel like we did it all.
Yeah. I agree with you, George. That's what we got to do.
Christy Burton Brown, she is the chair of the GOP right here in the state of Colorado. Thanks for giving us some of your time during this busy campaign season.
Thank you, George.
Talk to you soon. Hey, when we come back, I want to hear from you on this. And we've had some texts that are coming in here from folks throughout, and I haven't really asked you to call in, but I do want to finish this topic off. I don't want to go to this anymore unless we can get Ron on the phone. And we've reached out, we just haven't heard back, and I presume that at least for today it's busy. This is a guy who has guts, and I know he has the guts to come on here and defend his decision to go back on his word or explain how he didn't actually go back on his word. But I want to hear from you. We heard from Brian and a couple others earlier in the show that said, hey, I was a Ron Hanks supporter. I won't be ever again, and here's why. I need to hear from someone who can say, nope, what he's doing is right. I'm doing the same thing. I agree with Ron Hanks. I'm not supporting Joe O'Dea because of this. I need to hear that so we can have that conversation. My guess is there's some of you out there, not by the text, there aren't too many of you, but there are some of you out there. Have the courage. Call in and let's have this conversation. Convince me why this is a principled decision that makes sense. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. I told you a couple weeks ago, I let some people get inside my mouth and root around there. One was named Shiloh, the other named Dr. Richter. And that's down at Twin Aspen Dental Center. I have been singing their praises now for months, finally put my mouth where my mouth is and went down there and let them do their work to do my typical checkup and cleaning. They did it. It was fantastic. It was so, and for people to get anxious about dental work and stuff like that, I got to tell you, I was so comfortable, and I did it after the show. I fell asleep in the chair, and Shiloh was just so very nice and sweet with me with this whole, hey, I just gonna, there you go. And then sucking up the saliva and stuff, you know, cause it turns into this. But I fell asleep like twice. I fell asleep as they were cleaning my teeth. That's how gentle and very nice they are. We had great conversations. They do something cool too. They have like it's really brilliant. They have a TV screen up that you see when you're in there. And it just runs like, I don't know if it's TikTok or what, but it feels like TikTok, of all of these awesome pet videos. I know it sounds, you're like, well, big deal. It matters. It kind of calms you out. Doctors Richter and Snyder, they are phenomenal at the dental game. And if you want to stay healthy, you're going to start by making sure that that hole that puts all the food in it, that one's healthy. You stay healthy there, the rest of you has a much better chance of being healthy. Check them out. They're conveniently located off of Parker Road in Stroh, right by Lehman Academy, kind of across from that giant King Supers complex down there. You can visit them at TwinAspenDentalCenter.com or call 303-841-7466. That's TwinAspenDentalCenter.com or 303-841-7466. When we come back, your texts, your calls, the Ron Hanks thing, you agree or disagree? George Brockner on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Last hour of the show before we turn it over to the big national guys. Want to get right to the phone lines and get your opinion. Now, the texts are coming in here. Here's one. Best solution to Ron Hanks is to ignore. I think that's our friend Joan. Maybe long term, but I do think it's a discussion we have to have because I believe, Joan, there are folks out there who are going to do the same ridiculous thing that Ron Hanks has advocated doing. And he's not just saying this is what I'm doing. He's saying I encourage all Colorado conservatives to do the same. I mean, this is a guy who wants to burn the building to the ground and then declare, see, it can burn to the ground. I just think, I got to say, at least from a political standpoint, for me, conservative, not conservative, whatever, you pull this kind of a stunt in an election of this importance and you're dead to me in terms of politics. There's no universe in which you come back from this, right, as a Republican. Maybe you ought to jump in with the Libertarian Party. Maybe you ought to go Neuschwanger and join the American Conservative Party. Find some place that will let you be the winner when you couldn't clearly do that here on the Republican side of things. I'm going to go right to the phones. Tito, you're on 710 KNUS. Tito, what do you think?
Hey, good morning, George.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. You should be Colorado's AG.
But believe me, I tried. the voters said otherwise.
But I tell you why you're not. The reason why you're not is because Colorado conservatives are highly divided.
I agree with that.
Okay, and one of the problems, and let me tell you this, the Democrats have contributed to this division even further. How? Mail-in ballots. Mail-in ballots is one thing that today you either an election integrity denier or an election denier. And that's what's going to divide the Republicans coming this November.
How so? Explain that.
Ron is an election integrity denier. Yes. However, O'Day is an election denier.
How so?
Of the 2020 elections.
I don't think Joe Day has ever said that the election was stolen in 2020.
No. He's never said that. He supports Joe Biden. I mean, I don't want to say he supports Joe Biden. I want to say that he believes that that Joe Biden won the election fair and square. Okay. Yeah. Ron doesn't.
Yeah. No, Ron has said he thinks Trump was elected and that he was cheated out of the victory. That's a big deal. That's an albatross that doesn't belong around Joe Day's neck. He hasn't had to fight that battle.
Exactly. And that's what's going to happen in November, that most of the election integrity deniers are likely to support Joe O'Day and the rest of the folks. However, you're going to have another group of people, of election deniers, that will support otherwise.
Well, what do you think, Tito? Do you support what Ron Hanks is saying and what he's doing, independent of this breakdown that you've identified here?
Yeah, and here's my issue that I have. I'm right now caught between I should vote or not, because let's go back to Christie with the Colorado GOP and Priscilla.
Yeah.
They haven't done anything about in-person voting. I've kept asking her on every single show that she has come up and say, when are you going to fight for in-person voting? Because I don't know a single county in Colorado that accepts in-person voting anymore.
Well, I think you can go drop off your ballot in person. I don't know if you, and frankly, I don't know, because I use the little drop boxes myself. But Tito, is that the answer to Republicans voting, is to make it harder to vote? Is that how we win?
No, but here's the question. We have a constitutional right to take the day off to vote. So it shouldn't be harder.
We don't. You actually don't have a constitutional right to do that.
Well, you told me you are the expert. You are a political science expert.
Believe me. I never use the term expert with me unless it's on loafing. But I will say this. There are folks out there who want to have a national holiday to have the day off to vote. But that doesn't answer the question, because it is harder to vote if you limit voting to people having to physically get from point A to point B, and you limit it to one period of time, one day. Those limitations undeniably keep some folks from being able to cast ballots. And while I am very sensitive to the idea that there can be fraud in these mail-in ballots,
exactly.
I'm very sensitive to that, and I need to be proven that, not just some theoretical, hypothetical, hey, there's one thing that happened with one ballot one day with this one. It can't be that. But I can't believe that our position would be our best chance of winning is to have less voters.
And that's exactly what most conservatives believe, that whenever you do mail-in ballots, there's mail-in ballot harvesting and all those things, and it's not a fair election. And that's what's going to kill the Republicans coming this November.
That's not going to keep you from voting. You're going to vote whether it's in person or drop box or whatever, right?
Right. However, most conservatives won't. I just know.
You believe most conservatives are not going to vote at all? Not even this isn't even a Joe O'Day thing. This is just they're not going to cast ballots?
I believe so. I believe so because of the whole 2020 elections, how these ballots were mishandled. It was just a framework that opens for a lot of corruption. Anybody can vote, and that's what's going to happen in November. I sure hope that O'Day wins. So coming 2024, we have Trump there. We have Republicans supporting because he's the boss of the party right now, Trump. So we want that. But boy, at the local level, I don't see Heidi beating Paulus at all. I just don't see it.
But you're voting for her, and you're going to cast your ballot, and you're going to encourage others to do it. Can I ask, when you focus on the in-person ballots, why does that voting, why does that make that more representative or more fair versus the mail-in ballots?
Because it represents that you are putting the effort to vote. It represents that you are there to show your face and make the effort to vote for your candidate. Some of these mail-in ballots, some of these people, some people don't even vote, through that system. It's like I said, it's one of those things that I think if the Republicans get behind in-person voting in Colorado, we could actually turn Colorado finally red.
If you had in-person voting, you believe that the outcome of the elections would be different?
Yes.
And is that because we are eliminating voters who tend to be less conservative, or because you think there's that much fraud in the system?
There's a lot of fraud in the system, and that's one way to mitigate that problem.
You base that, though, off of what, Tito? Like, what's the thing where you're like, aha, there's demonstrated proven fraud?
I don't know if you have watched the movie 2000 Mules. Have you seen that movie yet?
I interviewed the dude who made it. His name's Dinesh D'Souza. I interviewed him on this show some months ago, right as that movie was coming out.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, that's one of the reasons why most conservatives are going to be like, I don't care about these midterm elections, but I'm definitely going to vote for Trump in the general elections. That's the sentiment that I sense.
If you didn't get a chance to listen to that interview, one of the things that, and it wasn't a super happy, let's hug it out kind of an interview with Dinesh, because dude wouldn't answer some of the questions. But one of the things that was important for me to get to is, do you have any evidence of a single fraudulently cast ballot? And after much wringing of hands and sparsing of words, his answer was, no, I don't. I said, do you have any proof that any of the cell phone things tie to two people vote or a person voting more than once? No, I don't. Do you have any video in your million minutes of video? Do you have anybody voting twice? No, none of it.
Yeah, but the movie put enough doubt on the American people to know that this election was stolen. That's all I can tell you.
I
have many friends that, are conservative, and I said, I don't vote for these midterm.
I think if you, and I don't know what your mindset was going to this, if you went into that movie thinking, I believe there's voter fraud, then you found it in there. You found it in that movie. If you went into it skeptical of voter fraud and thought, well, let's see if there's proof, I think more than likely you came away feeling like there's smoke here. I still don't see fire, but I see a lot of smoke.
But the results, they tally the votes, and they say that Joe Biden got more votes than Obama. alone should be a joke.
Yeah, I don't deny that could happen. And I think, Tito, the part, and we've talked about it a bunch on the radio here, it's not because 81 million people supported Joe Biden. I don't believe that for a second. That's not possible in reality. What is possible is there are enough people that supported Joe Biden and absolutely despised President Trump that it motivated them to vote, and those numbers added up to 81 million. I can see that all day long.
I don't know. If you see the rallies, if you see...
The rallies are definitely... They're evidence of his support and the enthusiasm of it, but those rallies don't add up to the votes that he got or the ones that Biden got. Enthusiasm doesn't dictate the outcome of the election.
Unless we have a dumb silent majority that is now harvesting the fruits, with high inflation and
no doubt about the fact that the outcome is not as you and I had wanted it, and it would have been much better had something else happened. Tito, I love that you called in to have this conversation with us, man. Thank you. And thanks for voting. Make sure you tell all your conservative friends who are debating whether to do it or not to vote. And thanks for saying, hey, don't do the Ron Hanks thing, and that is to burn down the house around us and then claim, hey, look, it's flammable. That's just crazy talk. A phone line is open. It was Tito's. It was 303-696-1971. Jim, everybody else on hold, and then I'll get to some of the texts that are coming in right now as well. Want to talk to you about Littleton Jewelry, and I'll start with the website because it's the place you can start, littletonfinejewelry.com. You'll see their selection of just about everything that they have on there, and you'll see that Jesse has taken his mom and dad's watch repair shop and taken it to the next level, like twice. Like, all of a sudden, it's not just watch repair, it's jewelry repair. And then it's watch and jewelry repair, and they buy and sell gold and silver and platinum and precious stones. Oh, by the way, let's throw in some coins. Let's do that. And now they've taken it to yet another level, and that is to do all of those things at the highest level of customer service and satisfaction, and to add on there an expansion to their building right there just south of Hudson Gardens on the west side of Santa Fe, a space that is just about custom jewelry. I mean, you come in and you say, hey, I want to invest some money in something that is going to be heirloom quality stuff that nobody can get anywhere else because it came out of my brain. They sit down, they sketch it out. Then they throw it into the old CAD computer voodoo stuff that they have on the screen there, which is very impressive. It gives you a more 3D idea. Then they turn it into a wax model of this thing. And then and only then, after you've been a part of each of those processes, do they say, let's go ahead and throw the precious metal piece into this thing. And these artisans figure out a way to craft this beautiful thing together for you. And what you got to do is you got to go out there. You got to check out what they have available, see the operation, meet the folks. They're just so nice. They're all 710 listeners. When I go out there and I'm like, oh, hi, it's they listen to the show just like you listen to the show. Go out there and be part of what they got going on there. They're not a big box store. They're the small business that we want to see continue to grow. You give them your time, your effort. They will give you a fantastic product that you're going to give to the next, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 10 generations thereafter. And you'll be proud that you were the start of that thing. So go out there. It's just south of Hudson Gardens. Turn right by the jewelry repair sign. Pop your head in there and tell Jesse and his team that you were listening to George and he said to go say hi. That's littletonfinejewelry.com, littletonfinejewelry.com. When we come back, Jim, everybody else will get to you. It's George Brockler on the George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. Before we get to our calls, I just want to remind you, as I have been doing throughout the show, and I'll continue to do this till we get there, October the 18th, it be a Tuesday. It's the Tuesday after ballots go out in the mail. We are hosting a Rescue Colorado event. It's a big deal. We want you to be a part of it. Now, it's out at the Douglas County. I think it's the Event Center. You go to the website, 710knus.com, and you can get tickets there. I'll be there. Deb Flora will be there. Stephen Tubbs will be there. And then the host of the Politicos on this thing, it's everyone you can think of. Buck, Boebert, O'Day, Ganahl, Kellner, Sias, Kirkmeyer, Odland, Burton Brown. They're all going to be there. And the goal of this thing is to not promote one single candidate or one's. It is really to highlight the enthusiasm needed to get these ballots back in over the succeeding 3 weeks in order to rescue, legitimately rescue Colorado. You take a look around, you see there's one party that has its hands on just about every lever of government, and you look around and say, here's what's going great. And we can wait while you fill in that list of things that are going great. My guess is if you look at the economy, you'll say, my God, we're number one in inflation. If you look at public safety, my God, we're number one in all of these areas, including car theft, bank robbery, and others. Number two in the country in property crime theft, homicides at all-time highs, 40-year highs. You look at all of those things, our school system, the things that are going on, and you think to yourself, how the hell did we get here? Well, I've got an idea, and I want to talk about it with you when you come here to this Rescue Colorado event on October the 18th at the Douglas County Event Center. Going right back to the phone lines, Jim, you're on 710 KNUS. Jim, what do you think?
Hey, George, good morning.
Hey, sir.
I'm just going to say, you know, I've heard Ron Hanks speak. I'm unaffiliated, so, yeah. You know, I didn't vote in the primary there.
You could have, as an unaffiliated, you know, you could have.
Yeah, actually, maybe. Yeah, you might be right on that. And actually, I really think he's a better speaker than Joe Day. But that being said, now it becomes about him versus what's best for the state. And at that point, he loses all my respect. And I think most people that do, politicians that do what he's done, well, whatever a sport he has is probably only about a third right now. And I think he has just basically gutted himself for any future election. I think even in wherever he's at, he's not done himself any favors.
It's just hard to imagine, short of him moving to another state again. And remember, he ran for Congress in California, lost, and then moved to Colorado and then ran out here. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Anybody can do that. I just imagine the next version of Ron Hanks will be to move to another state and try to figure out a way to get into elected office. But what concerns me about what you said, Jim, is that his support has dropped to a third. Even that third, whatever that is, every vote that doesn't go to Joe O'Day is, in essence, a vote for the status quo, and that's what we're trying to change.
I agree. I totally agree. And it no longer should be, the individual. It should be what's best for the state. I don't even think of the party, because in certain situations, if there was a Democrat that had my views on things, such as what's going on with the fentanyl, what's going on with the crime, and they had that point that I wanted to change it, I'd probably vote for them because I think they'd have a better chance. That being said, I don't see one Democrat that feels that way. And that's why I think Joe O'Day is the best shot for changing things. And that's why I think anybody that, you know, unaffiliated, that has any sort of conservative views, or any Republican, if they're not going to go behind who's best for what they believe in, then they have no morals. I mean, at this point, then you're supportive having open borders. You're supportive having drugs flowing into this country, because that's what you're doing by doing what Ron Hanks has done.
It seems so short-sighted to say, hey, let's just burn down the party now and we'll just rebuild it later and then it'll be better. Like, we don't have time to wait. We got to fix things like right now. And the part that gets me is I could foresee an environment where someone says, hey, I'll support whoever the nominee is. And then the nominee comes out with something that is so radically unpredictable and crazy, or something in their background. I could see all that. None of that's happened. At the time Joe O'Day's sitting next to Ron Hanks when he pledges to support the Republican nominee, everybody knew what O'Day's position was. He'd come on this show and said, I would support a codification of Roe versus Wade in Congress. So it's not a surprise. I just think Ron was laying in the weeds since his devastating and overwhelming loss in the primary and just knew he was going to do something like this at the last minute.
He wants to make himself valid again, seeing like, he changed things when he didn't change a damn thing. And, you know, he's not valid anymore because of what he's doing right now. Is the validity turning the Republican Party. It's gone away.
Jim, I can't thank you enough. You've wrapped up the show for us. You brought up some good points. I don't know if it's valid or relevant. I imagine he's still valid. He's just probably irrelevant, at least for purposes of anything to do with the Republican Party. Hey, my thanks to Chris Murray, who talked to us about SCOTUS. Danielle Jaramillo Jaramillo, however she or her mom wants to pronounce it, fantastic prosecutor from the 18th, about a great outcome on a case. Kelly Caulfield from the Common Sense Institute. Christy Burton Brown. I'll be back tomorrow, 6 to 10. George Brockler, 7:10, KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.